Welcome to Day Zero Update 4, May 19th, 2024. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
And I'm Brandon Perkins.
Yeah, two-man crew again, but we have plenty this week.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of stuff has happened. We have updates for all of your streaming your subscription services on the console.
Yep.
We got a number of games and DLC coming out here the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
As well as a couple of big games announced for later this year.
Mm-hmm.
As well as some news about PlayStation, about Xbox, and their Activision and Arcane happenings, and some other bad news and Square Enix's new strategy.
Yep, because boy, the current one sure isn't working.
And it's a radical new strategy. We'll tell you all about it later. But before we do that, we'll talk about what we've been playing, and I'll kick it off here. I've been playing a good bit of Little Kitty Big City.
Mm-hmm.
I put a few more hours into it. Basically have most of the map unlocked now. Mm-hmm. Still enjoying it a lot. Maybe the only issues is that it's kind of rough around the edges with the control stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As the platforming, you know, your cat's ability to kind of jump up onto stuff doesn't work so well in like close quarters. Get a few areas of like alleyways and such. You're trying to climb up these like air conditioning machines, whatever's hanging outside the windows and such. That kind of stuff can be tricky. You have to kind of move your cat around in weird ways to get up there. Though where I'm at, I have upgraded my climbing ability, at least to the point where I can climb up sort of a ivy that's on some of the walls and such around the city, so that I can just kind of Breath of the Wild my way up some of these walls, and you get more stamina bars. It's the same kind of stamina system as, you know, Breath of the Wild and other games like that. But the way that you upgrade it is you have to find these specific places that have fish that you're usually trying to sneak away from somebody or something like that. If you get to eat all three of them, I think it is, you get four bars of stamina to climb up those kind of IV on some of these buildings. So that makes that a good bit easier, especially as like the, you know, you get to expend some of that stamina to do like a bigger jump up there to kind of save yourself some time or whatever. But that stuff works pretty well. Yeah, I've done a bunch of quests for various critters. I helped a dung beetle that dropped its cell phone in cement. And so I had to go steal a cell phone from a human, which is pretty easy because in typical fashion, they're just staring at their phone, so you can easily trip them. So they fall over and you just grab their phone and run off out of their sight. And you have a free phone. That's not really useful for the cat, but that was a fun little quest there. There's a good quest line with this chameleon that is showing up in these different areas that it gives you clues for how to find them. And they're like, oh, you're not going to be able to find me over here. It's going to blend in. And then you get there and it has some bad camouflage on that makes it easy to see, that kind of thing. So much so the last time I found him, he was just about to just tell you where to go directly before he realized what his gimmick was. And he had to disguise it in a shitty, like, poem hint thing. Funny little thing there. But, yeah, it's still a fun game. A little rough around the edges on some of this stuff, but I've still been enjoying it a lot. It's very cute and chill and all that. Had a fun little quest line with a cat that whose owner works in this like kaiju store. Essentially is based around this character called Gekku, which is like a version of like Godzilla or something like that. And the bird has a sister that's a bird that managed to get out and goes flying around the neighborhood because the bird really likes the Gekku movies and wants to be you know, play like Geku and wants to take on a cat. And so the cat at the store enlists you to be, you know, a random cat that fights the bird, kind of essentially, and lets the bird win.
Yeah.
So that the bird feels good and goes back to the store. Not knowing that it was a setup all along kind of thing. So there's a lot of fun little stories here. So yeah, it's a fun game. And yeah, it's on Game Pass if you have not checked that out. It's also on Switch, Switch, Xbox, and PC, I believe. So that's one that's worth checking out. The other game I'm playing, there's a big Devolver Digital sale on Steam. I picked up a few games from there, mainly Discrim that I've been playing on my Steam Deck. It is really, really good for, you know, a Steam Deck sort of system, as it's a game from one of the co-founders of, oh, I forget, it's Jen Willem, I think, who was one of the co-founders of, yeah, here it is, Jen Willem Nijman, one of the co-founders of Blambeer, yeah. It's and he kind of worked on this game on his own with a few other people that he knew. And it's basically kind of a very arcadey kind of game, but where the room, where the name comes into play, Disc Rooms, that you're running into these rooms that have spinning blades, you know, usually saw blade type of blades, kind of going all around the room, and you're trying to survive as long as possible. Essentially like a leaderboard kind of game that is very well done. A lot of good challenge to it. And you'll see in a very kind of grid kind of setup, you'll see like, oh, if I last 10 seconds or longer, this door will open. If I, you know, do this thing, this other door will open. Some will be like, oh, if you last at least, you know, 5 seconds in every challenge in this area, you'll unlock a certain door. That'll get you to more challenges, that kind of stuff. So you're kind of looking around, seeing what challenges you can do. I have one that requires me to die in it at 0 seconds or less. But I have not figured out what the trick is there. But there are different rooms. You get to different areas where it's like, oh, you have to time only advances when you are in this circle in the middle of the room. There's one that has lights that kind of flash on and off. So you kind of have to try to see how well you can stay out of trouble when, you know, you're losing sight of what's going on for like half a second, like every other second. So, yeah, there's a lot of good challenge here. I'm definitely enjoying that. Got that for like $3, something like that. So there's that. And yeah, the last game I'm putting some time into is Minecraft. They're celebrating the 15th anniversary of Minecraft right now. So if you do not own the game yet, I believe it's half off on all the consoles and on PC, the which I guess would be the Xbox or Windows storefront there. You can check that out. So they're also giving away free item every day. Nothing really too complicated. There's a lot of just cosmetic stuff for your character, because if you have not checked in Minecraft for a while, beyond just the blanket skins that you could get of various designs and licenses, they now have a character creator. It's not really all that complicated. It's just you have like 8 different categories for specific body customization, like face and hair and that kind of stuff. Then also clothing choices that are like 7 or 8 as well, for that, like outerwear, top and bottom stuff, shoes, gloves, hats, you know, face stuff, all that kind of stuff. So you can kind of customize. There's a decent bit of free options there, so you don't necessarily have to pay for anything, though they do sell plenty of pay stuff that's kind of ridiculous for that kind of game. Because it runs on Minecraft coins or mine coins, whatever they call them, that nothing that is sold in the marketplace is priced at the cost of one of the preset, you know, amounts of mine coins that are offered. So you're always going to have leftover mine coins.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the Game Pass perks they're doing is they're giving people 500 mine coins so you can buy stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
And probably have an odd amount left over so that if you want to buy something else, you have to spend more money and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
As part of their whole thing. I've not spent it yet because I have not seen anything that's all that interesting there. But mm-hmm. I have been playing some. I started a new world. So I'm basically building out a building to make my base. Mm. So initially it's made out of dirt because that's easily is the easiest material I had available. And so now I'm collecting a bunch of stone and putting it through my furnace to make, replace all that dirt with stone and kind of build out from there. Mm-hmm. But right now, just kind of in the hollowing out this big, mountainside essentially and putting building up a big like probably skyscraper type of structure there. So that's kind of where that's at. I just play on peaceful without any enemy mobs spawning, which means you'll get weird stuff like the llama handlers that come around. They're real weird. You can trade emeralds with them for random things. And it's been long enough that since I really last invested in Minecraft that there's a lot of new stuff at this point. A lot of weird stuff. They've added a lot of different creatures for different biomes and all that. You know, there's like armadillos and like more species of wolves and lots of different creatures, a lot of undersea creatures and all that. So, yeah, a lot of weird stuff. I've seen foxes and that kind of stuff. So yeah, Minecraft's still cool. But yeah, that's been pretty much it for me. So Brandon, what have you been doing?
I'm still playing Stellar Blade. I actually finished it already the first time around, but much like with the game, it was heavily influenced by Nier Automata. This is one of those games you have to play more than once in order to get the full story out of it and get like different endings and stuff like that. Now granted, unlike Nier Automata, the differences are not as stark as you do when you start again and again, because pretty much like with the Nier Automata, once you go through that first playthrough, when you start it again, you end up going from playing 2B to playing 9S, or at least playing the story from his perspective and getting like more bits of it, and then it continuously adds on from there. It's not quite like that this time around. Obviously, much like with Nier Automata, the story is supposed to be kind of like cyclical, and that's sort of the case here. The difference, though, is that unlike in that one, where like the differences are a lot starker, this time around, when you're playing it, the differences are a lot more subtle. Things like things that were previously only shown you as like a series of screenshots or whatever end up turning into like a full cutscene, and you actually get to see like the whole thing happen. Which seems to imply that the character that you're playing is kind of remembers the stuff that happened in the beginning, but like their overall memory is slowly restoring itself. It also has some other little things here and there with like dialogue with like NPCs and stuff. They'll suggest something like, they have like a sense of deja vu, or, they're making some sort of, suggestion that there's something that needs to be done to, break the cycle or whatever. So I've already gotten pretty far in through my second playthrough, and I'm going to see where that goes. Other than that, I am also still playing Fear and Hunger Termina. Still trying to make a full successful run with my current character. Like I've said before, much like with the original Fear and Hunger, the game is very randomized when it comes to like, you know, items that you may or may not need. And the some of the happenings in it can be pretty random. And of course, also just like with the original Fear and Hunger, there's a lot of stuff that is decided by a coin flip. And yeah, those coin flips can really screw you over if you don't know what you're doing. But yeah, I'm also encountering like some different enemies and bosses this time around too, because part of the like conceit of Fear and Hunger Termina is that there's this thing going on in this city called the Festival, which is essentially like the Purge, more or less. And as it's going on, people who are involved in it end up getting, you know, visibly transformed in some way. They what they call moon scorching. And I've ended up coming across a couple of other individuals who could have been party members in other playthroughs who have been moon scorched. And yeah, it can be pretty surprising when you encounter them. I will say this far, compared to the original Fear and Hunger, this game is actually a little tamer than that one is. Fear and Hunger was infamous for the amount of just sheer cruelty that that game could visit upon you. And in this time around, it's actually slightly tamer. Like it's kind of like the happy paintings, the guy who's behind it. It's kind of like he sort of went back and decided to sort of maybe tone it down just a little bit, because the original Fear and Hunger was infamous for just the crazy awful shit that can happen in that game. And it's not quite as egregious this time around. And also on top of that, I've also started a replay of Signalis, mostly because I played that game back when it originally came out in 2022, and I really liked it. But I was surprised then that it wasn't really getting much attention. Well, it's getting attention now. It's starting to show up in, like, you know, Twitch streams, and people are talking about it on, you know, gamer YouTube. They're putting up like video essays and stuff. So I thought it'd be a good time to go back and revisit that game and just all the crazy shit that happens in it. But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
All right. So yeah, let's get to some news.
Yep.
And we are at the point where all three subscription services have announced their lineup of games coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
PS Plus game catalog has some decent stuff here. Mm-hmm. That'll be available on Tuesday, May 21st. Mm. We've got for PS4, Red Dead Redemption 2 returning for a little bit, as is the Rockstar tradition. So if you missed it previously, you can check it out now.
And if you haven't played it, you absolutely should. It's an amazing game.
Yeah, maybe. It's a very slow plotting kind of
game. It is slow and plotting. It is kind of a slow burn. But the rewards for it are immense. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's that one. For PS5, Deceive Inc.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those social stealth and subterfuge kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
That's trying to wedge its way in there after games like Among Us went big. Mm-hmm. I know they made a sequel that I think is free to play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure on that, but I do remember this name. So there's that. You can check out for PS4, there's SimCity 4 DLC City Living.
Mm-hmm.
Which Sims 4 is free to play, so you can check that out.
Mm-hmm.
That'll give you some more stuff to work with there. Let's see, for PS5, Crime Boss Rakkei City.
Mm.
That's a sort of heist game that features a lot of notable actors.
In
here. They mentioned just in this description Michael Madsen, Chuck Norris.
Mm-hmm.
There's Danny Glover, Vanilla Ice,
mm-hmm.
Danny Trejo, and a few others that are in there that didn't do so well right away because it was a really rough launch and all that. I believe they have been working on it, so I don't know if it's good now or if it's just more tolerable, but
It's possible.
That's a thing you can check out.
Mm-hmm.
See if it got over the hump or something. I don't know. Probably not, but it doesn't cost you any money to acquire it now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. For PS4, The Settlers, New Allies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strategy game. Let's see. With an in-depth build-up experience and real-time strategic battles.
Mm.
Okay. This, yeah. Seems like one of those kind of classic kind of real-time strategy games. Not necessarily like a Command & Conquer or StarCraft, but like maybe an original Warcraft, kind of smaller groups for that. But that's an Ubisoft thing. So, okay, that's neat. Let's see, PS4 and PS5, Stranded Alien Dawn. Mm. This is like a survival game where you have a human colonizing ship that gets marooned on this alien planet. So you're trying to, keep everybody alive and safe and fed and all that. Mm-hmm. So kind of building up your bases and all that kind of stuff while dealing with alien creatures attacking you and all that. So that's one I've been interested in. So that'll be a decent time to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Next up here for PS4, there's Cat Quest and Cat Quest 2.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very good 2D action RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
With a very, very cute style to it. So the third one is out in August, so it's definitely a good time to check out those first two games if you have not. The second one has co-op as well as the ability to play as a dog as well, if you want that. So there you go for that. Let's see, for the PS4, the Lego Movie 2 video game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, another Lego game, but based on the movie, so you can check that out. And then the last one here of the regular titles for extra for the PS4, Watch Dogs. It's the original Watch Dogs, which is a pretty decent game.
It kind of got a bad rap because of just how much of a downgrade it was to what Ubisoft had shown us at E3. So,
and I would say the main protagonist is not
a very likable individual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not a character that won people over, unlike the second game, where people like the crew that you had there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's worth checking out.
Mm.
PlayStation Plus Premium, their classics. Here they have announced three new games for PS4 and PS5. There's Two Extreme. That's the second of the Extreme series that Sony made. This one is probably the one most people have played because it was on all the demo discs and all that. So, but it's not like a Tony Hawk. It's more like a racing game, essentially, where everybody is, you know, racing and maybe almost like a road rash kind of thing, but with people on skateboards and such. So, that's a pretty decent game. Mm. I'd be curious if they're going to bring the first game around, which was an ESPN branded game.
Mm-hmm.
But then once they were done with that license, they had to rebrand it, I think, as One Extreme, which is a very dumb name, but that's a thing you might get. Let's see. G Police, which is one of those kind of cult favorite games on the PS1 from Psygnosis, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That is a flight combat game.
Yep.
Sort of futuristic one where you're taking control of these pretty cool, like, not spaceships, but, you know, more futuristic kind of ships, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's should be a pretty good time for that. So that'll be worth checking out. And then the last one here, Worms Pinball. I did not know they had a pinball game, but
there somehow that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. Let's see, it was on PC and then PlayStation. The PlayStation version was only released in Europe, so that's why we did not really know about it. There you go for that, with a cover art from Worms Armageddon. So they just reused cover art, so great.
Mm.
It seems to be one table from what it says here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they added some more, but in a later edition, but doesn't seem like it. 5 camera options, including a vertical screen mode. So there's that. I guess they planned a Dreamcast version that probably got canceled when, when the Dreamcast failed, I guess. So
mm-hmm.
There you go. Some interesting stuff there. Nothing really too amazing or anything,
mm-hmm.
but some solid stuff to check out there for PlayStation Plus.
Mm.
For Game Pass here, we got some more things here. Let's see. Yeah, there's Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons. It's available now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the classic version, not the remade version. So, let's see. Also, Chance of Sinar for console and PC. That is available now. That is a great little puzzle adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely worth checking out. So if you are interested in the challenge being trying to figure out how to decipher languages that you don't speak based mm-hmm. on the context that you have for what people are doing when they're talking about stuff or mm-hmm. you know, where you're seeing this language on signs and such. So that's a very cool game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, joining no, this one's already on there. It's just the cloud version of NHL 24. Mm. That's available, so you can check it out that way if you want. Also coming to EA Play, that is available now if you have it. Immortals of Avium for PC and Xbox Series X and S. So if you have Game Pass Ultimate, you can check that out. Or if you just have an EA Play subscription on Xbox, PlayStation, or PC, you can check that out. So there's that. And then, yeah, that's all the stuff that's available right now for the stuff coming up on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 will be available for a PC and Xbox Series X and S, so people will finally be able to check out that game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. Let's see, on Thursday, Galacticare for PC and Xbox Series X and S. Let's see, I think this is a tycoon game. Yeah, the director of Galacticare, an interstellar healthcare company, quasi-voluntary savior of the galaxy.
Yeah.
To building hospitals and recruit staff to satisfy the whims of various alien species and cure their bizarre illnesses. And you can also save the galaxy in story mode.
Mm.
Or just start working in sandbox mode if you want for that. So that sounds neat. Also on the 23rd, Haunty mm-hmm. for console and PC. That is, yeah, like a very cool kind of puzzle adventure kind of game.
Mm.
Really nice style to it and all that. So, yeah, that'll be out this week.
Mm-hmm.
For next week on the 28th, that'll be the last Tuesday of the month. Moving Out 2 will be available for console and PC. It's one of those co-op focused games designed to make you hate the people you're playing with. Let's see for the 30th. So that'll be the Thursday after next.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity for console and PC. That's a puzzle game. Mm. Essentially, we're setting up a lot of like redirects and such for this stream of humans mm-hmm. that are going through this level to try to guide them to the proper goal. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff to it, and that's a very cool game. Mm. So if you have not played it yet, that's one. That's a cool way to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Also on the 30th for PC and Xbox Series X and S, it's Lords of the Fallen. That's the new Lords of the Fallen, not the old Lords of the Fallen. That's a Souls-like from the people that have made a few of those. So
mm-hmm.
I believe that one's supposed to be pretty good. So that's worth checking out. And then, yeah, we still got two more here on June 4th. Mm-hmm. So that'll be the first Tuesday of June. There's Firework for PC Game Pass. That is, an accidental fire at a funeral forces the police to reinvestigate the closed case of mm-hmm. a massacre. He plays a rookie police officer who participates in the reinvestigation by chance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's like an adventure game of sorts. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. Then Rolling Hills for console and PC. Let's see, serve up sushi as a robot chef in Rolling Hills, a life sim about running your own restaurant in a cozy village. So, all right, this is one of those life sims where you're a chef.
Yep.
So yeah, that's one you can check out as well on June 4th. So yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Some pretty solid stuff there. And then the last one here, Nintendo Switch Online, got an update of three new Game Boy games. And all three of these complete the launch lineup for the Game Boy that's on that service now.
Mm-hmm.
There's Alleyway, which is essentially Nintendo making their own version of Breakout.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a huge success at the time.
Mm.
But yeah, this is also made by Intelligent Systems. So the people that would be known for Fire Emblem. So that's kind of a wild thing there. And the Advance Wars games, WarioWare, Paper Mario, that kind of stuff. So kind of a bit of a surprising thing, but that was one of the four launch titles. There's Baseball, which is, an NES-style baseball game, which means it probably doesn't hold up for anybody that didn't play this before, as it's... like the annoying thing about those kind of old baseball games is that when the ball gets put into play, you control the outfielders and infielders that all move the same way. And you do not see the outfielders until it's pretty late. Mm. Either you need to be somehow able to predict where one of them is at and get them into a place to catch the ball or get a throw in. It's a limitation of the way that those games were made back then. And this Game Boy version is similar to that. So there you go on that. That's one I don't really recommend unless you like the original, but you can play it for a few minutes if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But the big game here in this trio is Super Mario Land. That was the first Mario game on the Game Boy.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a very good game or a very good Mario game.
No.
It's a pretty decent platformer, but... if you play it, you know, Mario doesn't really look like Mario.
Yeah.
So much. I liken it to looking like a game you would get on your TI-83 calculator. That kind of level of graphics. It's obviously a little bit better than that, but it has very wild kind of stages to it. Because you go to, like, the Egypt with a lot of that kind of design and... Then you go to one stage where you're fighting off a bunch of Moai heads, stuff like that. There's undersea stuff where you're piloting a ship that shoots, like a shooter, but it doesn't control very well. And I was playing some of this, and I was like, man, they sure reuse like the exact same sections of level design multiple times in each stage. And it's like, that's pretty... I understand why they would, but... also doesn't make for a great game. But luckily with NSO, you can just rewind when you make stupid mistakes and you know, use save states and all that kind of stuff so you don't have to really deal with some of its frustrating design stuff to it. And then you go play Super Mario Land 2 and you see a much better game that is that looks more like what you expect. And that one, I believe, came out after Super Mario World, so it has elements of that built into its gameplay design and all that. So, so yeah, that's three of the four. The other one was Tetris, which is an all-time classic game. So, not really much to say about that.
Yeah,
but that's already on there. So you got the full launch lineup. One that had two good games and two okay games.
Yep.
The thing about Alleyway is it's a breakout style game that has like three tricks that it just reuses over and over again. There's like, what if the blocks scroll to the left or right? That's a trick it does. What if they scroll down at you? They like to do that. And the other one is that I'm trying to think what all they were, but yeah, there's like one more that it does. I think it has multiple levels of blocks, something like that. But I was reading up on the wiki page, and it's like you can only have the block bounce off your paddle at 15, 30, or 45 degrees, so there's no variation there. Because typically if you play these kind of games, if you hit it right in the middle, you get more of a 90 degrees, like straight up kind of angle to it. Mm-hmm. But here, that's not possible. They did not design it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just makes it a less exciting when you kind of get through like four or five stages and you've seen most of the tricks it has. It just finds different ways to vary those up. But yeah, it's not a super complicated game. Mm-hmm. And the way they tied into Mario is that he's supposedly piloting the paddle ship.
Mm-hmm.
And then occasionally you get bonus stages between. There's like, here's a sprite from Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. And you get to knock the ball through all the blocks for that. And I guess it has a score counter that has a limit for what it can display, like 10,000. When you get above that, it puts sprites to signify, you know, how much you've got past 10,000, which is a weird thing to do when it's like, it's just a score counter. It's not that complicated of a thing, but the way I have it set up, you can get more score than it can display. So that's a fun little thing. Well, there you go. There's your new Game Boy games to check out.
Mm-hmm.
Some pretty decent stuff there. But let's get to some stuff that is coming out in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
First up, Dave the Diver is getting some free DLC on May 23rd. This is the Godzilla DLC that was announced earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So Dave and the other people there doing their thing, fishing and all that, and then see that Godzilla has shown up for some reason, which is usually not a good sign, but the bits of footage they've shown of this shows Godzilla hanging out under the water, screaming at people, you know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's, I guess, dealing with the aftermath of a fight that he's had as he's injured and recovering from his wounds. So yeah, they're kind of adding some more kaiju stuff going on in this game. So that's neat. Kind of fits some of the other stuff that they have going on in that game. That's not a supremely weird thing that would happen in this game, that kaiju starts showing up. So there you go. That's one you can check out. It's free. So if you have Dave the Diver, that's some additional content for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, we talked about last week the Rogue Prince of Persia.
Mm-hmm.
Delayed it. The devs delayed the game as Hades 2 released to kind of get out of the way of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally announced dates, May 27th. So that'll be next week for people checking out. That's, the last Monday of May. So Memorial Day, I believe. So that's a fun day to release that.
Yep.
So, yeah, people will be able to check that out here in about a week. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that game turned out, at least for going into early access. But let's see. On May 30th, we have another game here. Horizon Chase 2 is finally coming to PlayStation and Xbox on May 30th. It's been only on PC and Switch since last year.
Yeah.
Let's see. Launched on Apple Arcade in September of 2022, then launched on PC and Nintendo eShop on September 14th, 2023. I believe that was during a Nintendo Direct. So people have been wondering when it's going to come out to the other consoles, and that's finally happening here at the end of May. So people will be able to check that out. I did get it in a sale on Epic Game Store, so I definitely need to play some of that. Because I've heard some mixed things about how this game kind of takes the original game's formula and kind of does more of that. So I'm curious to see how that turned out. Let's see. We got some more. Yeah, two games got unveiled that we already knew about. EA's College Football 25 finally got a full reveal. And it'll be out July 19th on PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. They have, let's see, three cover athletes. They put out a trailer showing in-game footage that all looks really good. And we got a bunch of details about modes and all that, which it has, you know, your dynasty mode. It's your, like, franchise mode. There's more career mode in there, and I believe some some other stuff in there as well that all sounds pretty good. This might be the first football game I get in quite a while. Mm-hmm. I don't know when the last time I bought any of these at launch. It might be the last NCAA football back in 2014. So that would be quite a while ago. For the PS3 and Xbox 360 that launched on in 2013. So yeah, that's been on over 10 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they have a $70 edition and then $100 deluxe edition, as well as a $150 MVP edition that, that includes, College Football 25 and Madden 25. Mm. So I guess if you want to get both of those, you get the $100 deluxe edition and the $70 Madden edition for a little bit of a discount, I guess, for launch.
Yeah.
Though if you wait long enough, those go on sale pretty quickly. But yeah, this one looks really cool. So looking forward to check it out. Now it's got all the licensing of players, now that that's a whole thing now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's looking pretty cool. 134 schools in it. And they've been spending a few years putting this together. So hopefully it turns out well.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And that's the other big game that got a full reveal, is the game formerly known as Assassin's Creed, codename Red.
Yeah.
Is now called Assassin's Creed Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
With the first cinematic trailer they put out.
Yep.
Showing off the game and its two protagonists, sort of continuing with that little tradition for most of the recent games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been the source of controversy by racists.
Yeah.
Because
not Japanese people, it needs to be pointed out. Most Japanese people either think it's neat or they don't care.
Because there's a male and female protagonist. The female protagonist is a shinobi character named Naoe.
Well, to be fair, she's a kunoichi, female ninja. Yeah.
Yeah. And the male is the first African samurai, Yasuke.
Yep.
It was a real character, a real person that existed, and sort of, I think, the first protagonist in Assassin's Creed game that's been a real person.
I think so. Part of the reason it works is because the real Yasuke, his whole story is very kind of shrouded in mystery. Like, there are basics that are known about him, but then there's like a point where he just kind of disappears from the historical record. So, but basically, he was the original Yasuke, he was a slave who was accompanying some Portuguese missionaries or merchants or whatever. And anyway, at some point they ended up meeting up with none other than Oda Nobunaga, and Nobunaga, of course, being the average Japanese, had never seen a black person before. So they tried to see if they could get him to, take a bath, because they could see because he had been covered in ink or anything, but no, it wasn't. And anyway, he became kind of enamored of Yasuke, and turned out Yasuke was apparently a pretty good fighter, so he ended up making him a retainer, which meant that, among other things, he was able to carry Nobunaga's sword and accompanying him to battle. He also had a stipend and was also given the right to own land and carry a sword of his own. And he's a fascinating figure. He's been, he's been dramatized like a bunch of times in Japanese entertainment for like decades. Even in video games, as far back as like, older, like Sengoku Jidai related games from like way back in the 80s, he's a character in those.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, he was a retainer of Nobunaga, who's like one of the big major figures of that era. So he shows up in Neo as well. He's called the Obsidian Samurai, you don't know it's him until he takes his helmet off, but it's 100% him. And there was also an anime recently that was made about him, and he's shown up in some fighting games. It's like he's a known figure, people know about him.
Until shitty people found out he was going to be the hero, they would not have cared about this game
yeah
at all. in one of those things of seeing these people freaking out on this, like, typically on behalf of Japanese people that don't want them to freak out about it, because most people are fine with it.
Yeah. And that's just so weird. It's like these like dorky white dudes who are like white knighting for a culture they don't even belong to. Like, that's just, it's so bizarre. And like, and on top of that, it's also a group of people who, again, have dramatized and exaggerated the Yasuke character for decades. So I don't know. It's just infuriating and hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, it's a clear sign of how much these people are just either trying to be obfuscating with their racism, or they're just trying to grift on it. As part of just general culture war bullshit.
Yeah.
Try to add this game into that mix, which
isn't
going to work. They're not going to exactly get this game to stop selling.
No.
It's going
to
do.
And believe me, it's going to be an Ubisoft title, so that means there's going to be a bunch of other legitimate shit to bitch about. Because, like, you know, there's going to be a bunch of microtransactions and a bunch of other shit that's going to go along, because it's Ubisoft. We know how Ubisoft rolls.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's going to be interesting to see. I believe this is a game they're not doing a full reveal on it just yet, of gameplay stuff, but I believe that'll be part of their Ubisoft Forward events during Summer Game Fest.
Yeah.
I believe that'll be the Monday after the main Summer Game Fest show happens, so we'll see more of that soon enough in a few weeks, so there you go for that. That's all of your game announcements and such. We do have other news here, like Helldivers 2 got its sales figures announced in the recent like financial call that Sony has had. Helldivers 2 has sold 12 million copies in 12 weeks.
Yep.
Which is ridiculous.
Yep, that's a million copies per week. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's... I imagine nobody would have expected that to happen for this random $40 game that they were putting out back in February.
Least of not Arrowhead. Because, remember, their servers got overwhelmed like within 3 weeks of this game's release. So,
yeah. That's great for them. They got plenty of people to make content for, so that'll be cool to see.
Yeah. Still having issues with still like trying to get the game back access to certain countries because
But yeah, this ends up also being the fastest selling PlayStation game. Beating God of War Ragnarok, which sold 11 million in 10 weeks. That was the last figure for that game to be announced. So,
yep,
that's an impressive feat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there you go. Some good news there. Also, some PlayStation news. They finally have announced who the new CEO is going to be, that's replacing Jim Ryan. And it's going to be two people. They are splitting roles here for the CEO. So Herman Holst will be one who will be taking over the new studio business group that oversees all the first party studios and the game developments there in. So that'll be interesting. And then the other one is Hideaki Nishino, who has been sort of in charge of their PlayStation Network teams and all that. I think the PlayStation Experiences team, essentially. So he's now in charge of CEO of the platform business group. So that is pretty interesting decision to go to. So they will be both reporting to the SIE president Hiroki Totoki. So essentially kind of having two guys helm the different aspects of their business right now, which is probably a pretty decent idea, allowing these two people to be kind of staying in the realm that they're kind of best at, managing these different parts of the PlayStation business. So that's cool to see. Be interesting to see how that turns out in the future. But yeah, right now they're going to be keeping things going. And I think they officially take over their new roles on June 1st. So that'll be when they take over. So
yeah.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. Wish them the best of luck there.
Oh yeah.
Let's see. Next up here, Activision is mm-hmm. opening a new studio amongst the shutdowns that Xbox is having.
Mm-hmm.
This is a studio based in Poland.
Yep.
Called
Elsewhere
Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
That will be focusing on big budget narrative based games,
mm-hmm.
as they call it. And I assume they're opening up the studio because running a studio in Poland is probably cheaper than most other places they could open up a studio.
Yeah.
That seems like a move that they would make,
mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, having a team in Austin, Texas, or in Japan, that are some fairly expensive places to have teams.
Mm.
In California and, you know, a number of places like that. So, yeah, they're building a studio from the ground up now and hiring people. So probably going to be quite a while before anything comes out of that studio.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it seems like the people they do have right now make up people that used to work at Naughty Dog, CD Projekt Red, BioWare and Ubisoft. So some good talent there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's see if they get anything out in the near future. But for now, that's one studio that's being formed.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully things work out better than some of the other studios Xbox has opened up recently. And by recently, I mean like in the last 7 or 8 years that are still working on games.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of the studios that are getting shut down, Arkane Austin.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they have been allowed to finish up the update they were working on that will be out. When did they say that's going to be out? I think it's going to be out here by the end of the month. That will be adding an offline mode, the ability to pause the game when you're playing single player,
mm-hmm.
as well as revamping some more of the neighborhood and nest systems, as well as some other stuff. So they'll be providing more details on that when it's ready to go. Mm. But yeah, so they'll be kind of leaving that game off in as good of a place as it could be. Not necessarily that it's going to be a great place, because it's probably still not a great game, but being able to play that offline and with the ability to pause it when you're playing by yourself is at least going to make it a little more tolerable to play. So.
Yeah, you would hope so. It sucks what happened to them, they didn't even want to make this game. Like this was 100% outside of their wheelhouse. You know, using an engine they weren't familiar with. It just kind of sucks.
Yeah. But yeah, there you go on that. Let's see. Ubisoft has some news.
Mm-hmm.
They have canceled The Division Heartland. This was the free-to-play game they were working on,
mm-hmm.
That I think was more of a focus on the co-op stuff and some of the Dark Zone stuff they've done. So kind of more, I forget what they're calling it, PvEvP, kind of survival action stuff that was going on there.
Mm.
So hopefully that means that they'll be more focusing on The Division 3.
Mm-hmm.
With the series creator Massive Entertainment working on that. So that got announced last year, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it has no release window. I think the other Division game is still that mobile game they've been working on that
I think
still is going to happen.
Yeah.
It still is at least like an impressive game to have on a phone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to do big numbers or anything, but Ubisoft kind of trimming some of their lineup that doesn't seem to be turning out super well.
Mm-hmm.
Then conveniently X Defiant is out, I think next week.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's out on the 28th or it's out this week. I don't know. It's one of those. Mm-hmm. It's out here in the next week or so, but so Ubisoft still has some stuff coming out. But yeah, they've been canceling some stuff in the last couple of years, trying to trim down the games that aren't, progressing well in their development.
Mm-hmm.
So this ends up being the latest one here. So that's a little bit of a shame, but hopefully those devs don't get their jobs terminated.
Seriously.
But yeah, speaking of development not going well, let's see. The studio Phoenix Labs, makers of Dauntless, the sort of free-to-play Monster Hunter-style game, and Fae Farm, another one of those life sim games, but featuring a lot of fairy creature or fairy characters. They have laid off at least 100 people at their studio, mainly, as they say here, after a long period of evaluating how to navigate our economic structure, we had to significantly restructure the company to pave a path for a strong future. The reorganizing Phoenix Labs to focus on our best-in-class live service titles, Dauntless and Fae Farm, and serving their communities. This unfortunately means canceling work on all other projects at the studio, which would impact many of our colleagues immediately. We've given notice to everyone whose roles are affected. And I believe this is largely due to lack of funding to continue working on those games and get them to release. But so they are kind of canceling all the other projects they were working on, kind of focusing on the two that have been out for a good bit now. So yeah, kind of keeping those going and seeing if things change in the future as far as being able to work on some more games. So
yeah,
hopefully that works out for them. Because yeah, Dauntless is a pretty cool game.
Oh yeah.
I feel like Monster Hunter games that are maybe less about the specific kind of vibe that Monster Hunter has. I guess Dauntless is a little easier to pick up and play and all that. So that's a game that's worth checking out. It's free to play, so you don't really have to spend any money to check it out. So there you go for that. And then yeah, we'll get the Square Enix. We also had some financial news to talk about and all that. They have announced that they are working on a new multi-platform strategy that they will aggressively pursue.
That
will be their big focus on this 3-year reboot plan for long-term growth. That will focus on PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, and PC. As they mention here, there are four pillars of this 3-year reboot plan. Enhance productivity by optimizing the development footprint in the digital entertainment segment. Diversify earnings opportunities by strengthening customer contact points. Roll out initiatives to create additional foundational stability. And strike a balance between shareholder return and growth investment when allocating capital. Kind of more focusing on making less titles that should do better versus just kind of the way they've been going for the last few years, kind of just putting out a ton of games and hoping some of them hit, which has not gone super well for them. As much as people have enjoyed the various kind of remasters they've been putting out. But yeah, kind of making that a focus where I read off like a bunch of games they released in one holiday season, one after the other. That was like, this is way too many games, way too close to each other.
Yeah.
It just cannibalizes all of them for no real reason. But yeah, so they are going to focus more on that, less on exclusive deals that they have been doing with Sony and Nintendo for the last handful of years. That is not a huge surprise that hasn't necessarily borne out too much for them, especially when they're focusing on, you know, one platform that is a small part of the pie there. I believe specifically they called out Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Final Fantasy 16, what's the other game? Foam Stars. That's the one they called out. It's like, none of these games met their expectations for them, which that's a classic Square Enix thing of...
Yeah, they always like make their expectations way too high.
Yeah. And it's like, some of these you can figure out, like Foam Stars is a $30 game, multiplayer focus, and it's like, it's full of microtransactions in a way that feels like a free-to-play game.
Yeah.
Which it was on PlayStation Plus on the monthly lineup. for the first month, but you know, why would you pay $30 for that game?
Mm-hmm.
It really should have been free to play.
Yeah.
For everything that they were doing with that game. So them wanting $30 for that is kind of like really limiting their audience there for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see them porting that to Xbox and Switch and PC and kind of getting that out there and seeing if that picks up mm-hmm. for them. And Rebirth, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth probably will come to PC later this year.
Mm-hmm.
It seems likely for them, as well as 16. They've already been heavily hinting that 16 is coming to PC later this year, so that will definitely be happening. Mm. It seems like they're going to focus more on releasing more other games, if not all of them, on all the platforms that can handle them.
Mm.
So probably more PlayStation, Xbox, and PC stuff, and more Nintendo stuff when they get a new thing out there
mm-hmm.
that can support the level of games that they have been mostly making for the last few years. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, unsurprising strategy for them, as mm-hmm. they've been kind of just, you know, running their company like a chicken with its head cut off, just doing whatever suits them at any point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can get exclusivity deals, they will take them every chance they get.
Yeah.
Whether that's on Epic Game Store, on PlayStation, on Nintendo Switch, whatever, they're cool with that. They like the money.
Mm-hmm.
Which probably helps out on the back end of offsetting development costs, but also seems to lead to some of these games not doing as well as they could have.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they could maybe find better times to put them out.
Mm.
So yeah, as part of all this financial news, they also announced that part of this new strategy is that they are going to be laying off people in their US and European offices.
Mm-hmm.
That will be, you know, optimizing their offices there. That'll be costing people their jobs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, UK employees that are laid off will be entering into a 1 month consultancy period in accordance with local UK law, while affected US staff could be out of the jobs before the end of the month. Mm. So, yeah. I think they've announced how many specifically, but it seems like it'll affect people in their publishing, IT, and the Square Enix Collective division mm-hmm. that is the studio that, or the company that does a lot of their indie publishing. Mm-hmm. That's where like Power Wash Simulator was published through, and some of the third party releases kind of coming through there as well. So yeah, I don't know if that's going to affect their ability to publish stuff in the future, but we'll have to see on that front. But yeah, there will be some layoffs. So you're going to add Square Enix to the list of mm-hmm. companies that have laid off people.
Yep.
An ever increasing list where you might as well start listing out who hasn't laid off people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's your Square Enix news.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have anything to add, Brandon.
Only then the fact that this was pretty much inevitably where Square Enix's like current trajectory was headed. Like the last decade of Square Enix's honestly not even last decade, like last 15 years. Well, I'd probably say something like that's a little much. Anyway, the point is, for the last several years, they've essentially been going through this sort of cycle of where they're constantly trying to put out so many projects at once, glutting the market, and then acting surprised when they don't, you know, get the returns that they were expecting. Like, yeah. It's kind of ridiculous, honestly. And honestly, you know, ever since they started, like, you know, stretching out to the Western market, which, I mean, that's fine. That's not a problem or even a bad thing. It's just that they really did not understand very much how the Western market actually operated. It was like they were still sort of operating under the idea that they still had kind of had the monopoly that they had on in Japan. But yeah, it's glad they're changing direction, because they desperately needed it.
Yeah. They just Final Fantasy doesn't have the cachet it once had.
Yeah.
Mostly in the PS1 and PS2 days.
Yeah.
Though, you know, like 13 did pretty well, and 15 did pretty well.
Yeah.
But not much else has done well outside of like 14.
Yeah.
Being absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the one title that in the last few years that they would not call a disappointment, especially when like the expansion from last year was the one that was causing huge server issues because everybody wanted to jump in for that, and they had to do a lot of work to let as many people in as they could without the servers collapsing. So they're in a place of great potential if they can figure out the best products to put out, but that's not been Square Enix's strong suit.
Yeah.
This generation and last has just been throwing anything out there, seeing if anything hits.
Mm-hmm.
And when it doesn't, they're just like, oh, okay, we'll try out these other 12 ideas.
Mm-hmm.
See how that goes. Because like you had the Tokyo RPG Factory that had their first game was pretty good, but also not all that remarkable.
Yeah.
And then they put out another one that was like kind of this, you know, similar kind of vibes around it.
Yeah.
And then if you remember the third game, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just disappeared after that.
Yep, pretty much.
And I was like, man, you guys could have maybe put them on one of the licenses you had.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that would have helped them out. Versus making games in the spirit of, you know, Chrono Trigger and whatnot. And then people are like, well, that's cool, but also this game isn't as fun as it could be.
Yeah. You can tell us, she's like, we're going to make a game in the spirit of Chrono Trigger. It's like, you're Square. You have the license. Just make another Chrono Trigger.
And they're like, we'll do it for the PC and make it bad.
Yeah.
And we'll spend years fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
To get on par with what you could do with an emulator.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There's your news for the week. Yeah, thank you all for tuning in, and thank you, Brandon, for joining this week.
Always.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news, and if you enjoy the show, feel free to let friends and family know that they should check it out, and select strangers that also want Square Enix to put out better games.
Please.
And at a pace that you could buy them.
You've got so many other licenses that you could use, so many other IPs. You know, try them. It certainly couldn't hurt worse than the shit you've been putting out recently.
Yeah. But thank you to everybody for joining. I want to check what games are coming out because I have that list still.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, we got Senua Saga, the System Shock port for PlayStation and Xbox is out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Paper Mario, the Thousand Year Door is also out this week. That's Thursday.
Yep.
There's Until Then. That is that's a Southeast Asian indie game.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some cool stuff about it. World of Goo 2 is also out the 23rd. And then Multiverse is next week. Those are some of the big games coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
So plenty to check out.
Mm-hmm.
As the month of May ends here, as we get to the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
Not the holiday season, but the Memorial Day season.
Yep.
Which is in the middle of a bunch of 80 degree days here, so that's unbearable.
Yeah.
But thank you all for tuning in. I hope you have a good week ahead. We'll see you all next time. Have a good one.